Yeah, I've got some magnets here. Kyle, would you do me a favor? And if you need one of our diagrams for the lesson, raise your hand and Kyle will see that you get one. while he's passing them out, whether you've never gotten one or you just need another one, paper is not real expensive anymore. And so I've printed off extras to bring each time. You know, a month in between, it easily can get lost. I understand that. But as the main box in the middle shows, the salvation is by grace. And I understand that's a basic. A salvation is by grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are expected, according to Philippians chapter 2, thank you, Kyle. We are expected, according to Philippians chapter 2, and I'm turning to it, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 and 13, we are expected to develop the salvation we have. Now notice in verse 12 and 13, Philippians 2, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Now that's quite a commendation that Paul makes to these Philippian Christians. Not as in my presence only. You know, a lot of times people will do well when somebody else that's important is around them. But when they're alone, that can be another story. But in this case, he says that they have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And they not only now are being obedient in his absence, but Paul says much more. Now, listen, that's not just Paul's evaluation. It is Paul's evaluation, but as prompted by the Holy Spirit. And so much more in his absence. Now, notice here, this is our verse. Work out your own salvation. The development of salvation. So you got saved by grace. So you were born again. That's wonderful. Now, Paul says you need to work it out. You need to develop it. You need to, and we're going to talk about it, what this means. Okay, the development of salvation. And he says, with fear and trembling. Now, fear and trembling. Most times in the Bible, when it uses the word fear, it's speaking about reverence, okay, before an almighty God. But there's times that it's used, and I believe this is one of them, where the context shows us that fear means just that.
Yeah, amen.
Okay, and I believe the word trembling gives that direction. With fear and trembling. In other words, there's a price to be paid if we don't develop our salvation.
Amen.
And we ought to fear that price. Backsliding is no fun. And I'm not the only one that can give testimony to that.
Amen.
There's enough others that are here. And some of the biggest backsliders, they backslide from in a church pew. Now, I was one of those that when I backslid, I dropped out of church. Now, that's a real backslider. Well, real backsliders are those who are away from God, whether they're in a pew or out of a pew. Okay? The location doesn't make the difference. It's the relationship that is no longer had with Jesus Christ. And he tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, look at the 13th verse. For it, the 13th verse is the other side of the coin. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. Verse 12 says, we got to work it out. We've got to develop it. But then verse 13 says, but it's God that works in you. And so you see, we realize that anything of eternal value that we do is going to come about by the help of God and the work of God in us. Nevertheless, that does not mean that we have no responsibility and that we just sort of sit back and piously fold our hands and wait for God to work it out in us. He might once in a while grab a 2x4 and motivate us. We might get a shoe to the spiritual pants of our life, or however you might want to illustrate it. But it's our responsibility to work out, to do what we can. And now we're going to see how that comes about even more. On the top of the page, the left box has three words in it: understand, comprehend Bible truths. Understand and comprehend Bible truths. This is one of the major ways that we work out our salvation. Let's look at the first verse that's listed there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to begin at the 12th verse. It lists verse 13 as the first one, but I'm going to back up to 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Talking about saved people, people that know Christ. He says, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We're to develop our salvation. And we've been given the Spirit of God so that we can know the things of God that are freely given to us. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. One of the steps of developing our salvation, what it is that we know, what it is that we have already learned. When it comes to learning something more, hearing something more, being taught something more, we need to take what we already know is truth, what we already have gleaned from the scriptures. Now we get something additional. Well, it might be in a magazine article. It might be on some television program. It would be, you know, in the church through Sunday school and preaching. Primarily our pastors preaching, but like we just came through Youth Week, we have other preachers that at times we're exposed to. Now we hear things. Oh, I never thought of that. Oh, that's interesting. Now look, you compare spiritual things with spiritual. What you already know as truth in the Word of God. Here you heard, you've been introduced to something new. And I don't mean sensationalism and something, you know, that's said just to tantalize our minds. No, you just hear something new to you. Might not be new to the guy sitting next to you, but it's new to you. Now you compare that new thing with things you already know. Comparing spiritual with spiritual. And that'll protect you from swallowing, as we say, hook, line, and sinker, every little thing that comes along. Now, your least place of danger for that sort of thing is going to be the local church. Because, well, we know what pastor teaches. We know how he teaches. He's consistent in his teaching. And but you may hear him say something and you, I don't know about that. Boy, I just, you know, I'm not quite sure about that. Well, compare that with things you already know. And then you'll see how it fits together. And so we need to understand and comprehend Bible truth. Verse 14 says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The unsaved man. The natural man, not the spiritual man, not the born-again man, the natural man, understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Well, listen, be patient with relatives, family, friends, neighbors, whatever the contact is. You know, you may share something with them that you've heard. And or they may have listened to somebody on television And they know you're religious. So they come to you and they complain to you about something that they heard somebody say. And what they're complaining about, you're thinking to yourself, this is okay. This is not wrong. You know, you got to be patient with them. Because the natural man doesn't understand those things. They're foolishness to him. Well, why in the world can't they see it? Well, you know what? Christians who were trying to bring you to the Lord, they've said the same thing about you. Why in the world can't he see it? It's so obvious. It is to the spiritual man, to the man led by the Spirit of God, but it's not to the natural man. To the natural man, it's foolishness. I don't need that. And so that's what this verse is talking about. Neither can he know them. You can explain some things until you're blue in the face. And some people are just not going to get it because they're spiritually discerned. And that's true even with Christians. There are Christians who, if they're living by the old man, the old nature, the natural man, and they're making their choices and decisions and values based on not the Spirit of God and the Word of God, then they're not going to understand those things because they're spiritually discerned. And this is how it is that you'll even find Christians who you may think to yourself, why in the world don't they see it? Well, it may be that they just need to compare that spiritual thing with something else they know, but it also may be the fact that they're not following the Spirit of God because these things are spiritually discerned. And then he goes on in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So we need to understand and comprehend Bible truth if we're going to develop our salvation. Now, with those thoughts, let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. The book of Hebrews. And it's the 5th chapter that we're looking for. And I'm going to begin at the 11th verse. And again, remember, we're talking about developing our salvation. We got it as a free gift, and the Spirit works in us, but he expects us also to work out, and this passage will get real specific as what it means to work out. All right, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. So here the Apostle Paul says that he has many things to teach. And not all of these things are easy to explain. He says they're hard to be uttered. These things aren't always easy to say. I know there were times through the years that I had to preach something, and I know if I had to give a scolding to the church, there were times where it was just necessary to act like a father with the children, and they didn't always like that. Okay, but praise God for those who understood, and they usually ended up being encouragement because they knew it was hard for me to say the things that had to be said. Okay, and they discerned enough to realize that. But nevertheless, here look at verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers. Now here Paul's talking to these Christians, and he's saying, I've got some things that are difficult to say. Not impossible, just he hated to have to say them. For the time ye ought to be teachers. See, this was their problem. They ought to have been teachers. They ought to have been a whole lot further along in the Christian life than they were. They ought to have been teachers. ye have need that one teach you. Now, what's the next word? Again. You see, they ought to have progressed in their Christian life. They ought to have developed their salvation to the point where they could be teaching. But as it turns out, they needed to be taught again. They had learned it one time, but if it sank in, they left it slip out. Okay? In other words, they weren't living what they were once taught, so they had to be taught the same thing again. Now listen, those of you who got it, have it, and aren't letting it go, you'll hear a pastor preach and teach some of the same stuff. And you may think to yourself, I know that. I got it. I understand that. I got that 3 years ago when you first said it. But not everybody has gotten it. Not everybody holds on to it. And so that's why they need to be taught again. And those of us who have it, we simply need to praise the Lord. The truth is being taught. Somebody's going to get help, and so they can be taught it again. You see, that's how, just like your family. Okay, we had four kids. I see the Montgomery's family here, you know. four kids. We had four kids. Our son Jack, he hated to go to the mall. Now, what is he, 53 or 4 now? And when we'd go to the mall, it was a long time ago that he was a kid, is the point I'm getting at. He hated to go to the mall. Finally, his mother found out why. He said, I feel like we're ducks in a row. Dad's first, and then you, and us kids all in line, follow behind. I think of that every time I see a big family. Now listen, four is not a big family. Okay? Pastor and Sister Ruth Ann, they have a big family. Okay. Well, what makes it big? More than I got. And so, but we need to be taught some things again. Kids need to be taught some things. There isn't a parent here, but what they can remember saying, I told you before. Yeah, well, that's what the Father in Heaven says. I told you before. As a matter of fact, you even got it and lived it. And what happened? You need to be taught it again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Something's wrong. When a child has grown and they've gotten off the pablum, they've gotten off the green peas, you know, in baby food jars. Oh man, the poor kids, they grow, they get off of it. Then they eat them little wieners that you can get in the baby food jars, you know, and they progress, and something's wrong then. And the doctor says, now you need to put them on a soft food diet.
Yeah.
You need to put them on a liquid diet. Why do they do that? Because something's wrong. And that's the same way he's saying here in the end of verse 12, you have need of milk and not strong meat. They ought to be teachers. They ought to be able to handle the strong meat. But the reality is they can't. Now listen, there's a lot of times, just because of the number of years a person's been saved, they think that those number of years makes them able to handle strong meat. But if their life evidences immaturity, then what they need is the milk of the Word of God if they're ever going to grow.
Amen.
And for everyone, verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Now that may sound negative to a person, but it's not. That's the beginning point of learning. The sad thing here is they had already learned it. Now they have to learn it again. But unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Be patient. And this is not always easy. And it depends on a person's temperament, personality. You'll hear somebody who's a babe in Christ, regardless of how long they've been saved, but they're a babe in Christ. And yet they're spouting off about the Bible and about Christian living. And you're thinking to yourself, would you get with the program? You don't have the first clue of what's going on here. Just be patient. Okay? Depending on your personality, my personality, we were like that. And we said things that sounded great to us, but they really, really, really weren't. And mature believers who were on the strong meat, they heard us talking. And praise God for the patient ones. I remember in my life when I was first called to ministry, the pastor was named J.R. Weaver in that particular denomination. They always used your first two initials and your last name. You weren't known as Jake Weaver. You were known as J.R. Weaver. And I was known as R.N. Payne. Never referred to as Roger, just R.N. Well, J.R. Weaver was very patient with a young man, and it, you know, because when you're young, you know everything. Okay, it's just the way it is. It's, you know, and there's a positive side to that in the enthusiasm, the dedication, the zeal. Paul observed that in his people. They had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They had to learn some more. But the zeal itself is okay, all right? So we need to be patient. That's, of course, for us older folks. That message is to them. Now he goes on and he says here, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of what? Full age. Now full age there carries with it the idea of completeness. Okay, that maturity that he's saying these people had lacked. Strong meat belongs to them that are full age. Even those, here it is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So how do we develop our salvation? We understand and comprehend Bible truth. How do we do that? Well, obviously you have to be reading the Bible. You have to be studying the Bible. But it goes on and it talks about exercise, having their senses exercised. Our granddaughter-in-law, our son Jake, who is now in Virginia, he's in the Navy, but he's about to be discharged. He's sent to Virginia. Shortly, he's going to be going up to Niagara Falls because you go out where you went in. So he goes to Niagara Falls, and on Friday the 11th, he's going to be at his parents' home for just that one day and night, and he wants a Rena's Pizza Bash. And he said, Gramps, and Graham, he said, I'm not going to get around to visit different ones. If you can come on over. I said, if you're having pizza, I'll be there. And so we're going over. Well, his wife, sweetheart, she'd attended here a few services with us. She was up for the 4th of July holiday, and we had her and her family come over to the house. And then other of our children were there to do the work, and because I was of a mind to cancel it, and Pat said, well, the girls will be here, let them do the work. And so, all right, I'll go for that. Well, her dad came in, and let me tell you, he had a nice belly on him. No more. Flat. Flat man, boy, that always convicts me. Okay, get your hamburger and go. And so, but he looked, and I asked him, I said, John, how did you do that? And I said, how did you lose it? He said, well, the main thing is that I just cut back on how much I ate. Well, I know about that, you know. And tell me something, you know, easy. And he said, then I started to eat healthy. Oh, okay. Well, what else did you do? And he said, well, I exercised. Him and my doctor. I told my doctor one time when I went to him, I said, I don't care what I come in with, if it's my big toe or the top of my head or anything between, that exercise and losing weight is going to be part of the fix. I meant it as a joke. Thought a minute, he said, you know, he said, I can't think of anything that wouldn't benefit from that. But you see, that these people have their senses exercised. We know what exercise is, and their spiritual exercise. And to develop our salvation, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it requires exercising. And just like I don't like to exercise physically, there are people who don't like to exercise spiritually. They have a nice Bible, but it's usually opened only in church on Sundays. Maybe a time or two through the week, but they don't exercise it. They know about the track rack, but they don't take any along. So when they're shopping or have some other kind of contact and the Spirit of God reminds them about giving that person a track, they don't have a track anywhere that they can give to them. And then the Spirit of God puts on their heart about somebody who's having difficulties, whether physical, financial, people-wise, or spiritually, whatever the need is. And God reminds them of that, but they don't have time to pray. They're not going to exercise. And of course, they walk around with the spiritual pouch, the same as I walk around with mine. And so something needs to be done about it. And he says here, they have their senses exercised, notice the last line, to discern both good and evil. To discern good and evil. If we're going to be able to distinguish between what's good and what's evil, we need to be developing our salvation. You cannot just go with what your church teaches. Now, obviously, one's church should teach truth and the right position. But the reason we do or don't do something is not because that's what our church teaches, but it's because what the Word of God teaches. And our church is reinforcing and supporting that. So what I understand from the Word of God to discern between evil and good, it comes from the Bible. You know why that's important? There have been churches that once were and no longer are.
Yes, that's right. Yes, sir.
And now what are those people supposed to do? You see? Where if they have their faith built on the Word of God, now they can continue to live for God until they find another place to worship. As a matter of fact, even having their life built on the Word of God is going to help them when it comes to finding another place to worship. And that's so, so important. Well, now, we're going to take one more quick box because it should actually be in position on your paper where the prayer box is, and that's the discernment. On the top, the box on the right side says discernment. And of course, we've just talked about that in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, where as we develop our faith, we can discern both good and evil. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And this is how we discern. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Not just in emotions and feelings and warm fuzziness. No, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You know, when it comes a boyfriend, girlfriend, there's that initial level of emotions and tingle and warm, fuzzy feeling, and that's a nice time. I can even still remember that time, okay? I really can. That's a wonderful time. But I couldn't have stayed for 55 years with the same woman if that's all it was based on.
That's right.
But it's based on, you see, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Another word you can use sometimes for judgment is evaluation. So you see, when a judge sits on the bench and he hears somebody's testimony, now he judges that. By the standard of the law, what's he doing? He's evaluating what they said by the standard of the law. And that's, I believe, how this word judgment is used here in its context, that our love may be in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Okay? Discern between good and evil. That you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ. Sadly, there are so many Christians, it does not matter to them about being sincere and without offense. Oh, they're sincere emotionally. They talk about being sincere, the emotion of sincerity. But sincere here is carrying with it the idea of truthfulness, of accuracy. I'm sincere about that. In other words, it's just, not just that I have an emotion that we call sincerity, but you can count on this. This is an absolute matter here, without offense till the day of Christ. Now, one more passage is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we all have already been to this verse, but we're going to look at it in verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, meaning the unsaved man. He's not a new man. He's a natural man. He's not a new man in Christ. He's the old man. And for they are foolishness unto him, the things that the Spirit would give. Neither can he know them. Well, why can't he know them? Because they are spiritually, what's the next word? Discerned. And that's what this box is. If we're going to develop our salvation, we need to have discernment.
Yes, sir.
Listen, just because you turn the television on, and just because somebody uses the same words that we use here in the church, doesn't mean that what they're saying is true. You have to judge it. You have to evaluate it by the law of God, by the word of God. Just like a judge sitting on a bench does with the testimony that somebody gives before him. And so it is that we need to judge. They use the right words, but they may give a different definition to them. I mean, there's T.D. Jakes. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that name. We've seen him. And you know, I like his preaching. I do. I like his preaching. And then I had forgotten this. And my son-in-law, I told him that. Son-in-law from St. Mary's, I told him that. And he said, don't you remember? You told me he's one of them Jesus-only preachers. And I said, no, I forgot that. And I had.
Yeah.
Okay, he doesn't believe the Trinity. And now that begins to affect so many other things.
Yeah, it sure does.
But he sure uses a lot of good terms. And he sure talks on a lot of things. Hagin, who's the Hagin? The prophecy guy. The pro-Israel, pro-Israel.
Oh,
Hagee, yeah. Now, there's another one. Boy, I like to hear him preach. Boy, he can be interesting. But you know what? You buy a CD because of a particular record, a song you like, you know there's usually about 10 others on it.
Yeah.
And that's how it is, you know. You bought it for the one. And so, you know, when Mike watched that guy, I forgot his name already. That's one good thing, you know, when you're old, you don't remember things. So things you hear that aren't true, you forget them. And so you get the point, we need discernment. And it cannot just be emotionally driven by what I like. What I like isn't the criteria. It's the Word of God and what it teaches us. And I've already gone over. So we'll get to other boxes, other times. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Oh God, help us to understand it and to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. The discernment to know the time.
Yeah. Know the times.
Oh, that's
actually fair. Thank you. Sister Ruthann. This is from Patricia. She apologizes for not being my words. I mean, she
Well, she's making progress in that, that's for sure.
Son, get off those stairs now.
Mommy, get up.
Good.